Viva Frelimo! Viva Frelimo!
Viva! Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Aina mwisho, Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Aina mwisho, Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Viva Frelimo, the story of the national liberation struggle in Mozambique, the story of a victory, and of the men and women who made it possible.
Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Part 4, The Reactionaries' Bid for Power. In September 1974, when the Portuguese government agreed to hand over power to Frelimo, almost all Mozambicans were rejoicing. Almost all, but not quite all. When it had become obvious that the Portuguese army no longer had the will to fight the Frelimo freedom fighters, a number of small political groups appeared overnight. Although they'd not been involved in the struggle against Portuguese colonialism, these groups presented themselves as political parties, which should be given the same treatment as Frelimo. It was ridiculous, of course, since these groups had obviously only been created at the last minute in a desperate effort to stop Frelimo coming to power. But what was interesting about them was that they included some men who had formerly held senior positions in Frelimo. These men were now in open alliance with the most reactionary Portuguese settlers and soldiers in the manoeuvres against Frelimo. When the independence agreement was signed in Lusaka on the 7th of September 1974, these ex-Frelimo members, men like Uria Simango and Lázaro Nkavandame, were bitter and furious. Their idea of what independence should bring to Mozambique was very different from the socialist society that Frelimo envisaged and is now in the process of building. To understand the nature of this clash, it's necessary to look back to its roots in the province of Cabo Delgado in 1966.
Vitória bem segura, é o começo de um mundo novo.
O povo unido,
unido pela felicidade,
desfurou
uma de alma puto,
contra
opressão e exploração. O povo
In 1964, the armed struggle had been launched in Cabo Delgado province from bases across the river Rovuma in Tanzania. And by 1966, the Frelimo freedom fighters were in control of large parts of the province. As the war intensified, most of the Portuguese traders and farmers left the province, and the Portuguese presence was becoming more and more limited to military fortresses. In this situation, the Mozambicans not only had to continue to fight colonialism, but also had to deal with questions of production and distribution of wealth. With the creation of liberated areas came a struggle about how production should be organized and how the peasants' surplus produce should be distributed. The Frelimo political leaders in the province, who were called chairmen, were central in this struggle. It has to be remembered that when Frelimo was created, its leaders included people of different political persuasions, coming together on the common platform of the demand for independence. And some of these chairmen in Cabo Delgado were capitalists, small-scale capitalists, it's true, but capitalists nevertheless. They used their position as chairman to line their own pockets at the expense of the poor peasants in the liberated areas. For example, as chairman, they controlled the Frelimo shops, which distributed imported items in exchange for the surplus crops produced by the peasants. But some of these chairmen, and especially one called Lázaro Nkavandame, were selling the imported goods at inflated prices, blatantly exploiting the peasants. Landowners, including the chairman, began employing people to work on their fields in the liberated zones. At the end of a month's work on a cashew plantation, a peasant would receive a cheap shirt in payment. For carrying a sack of cashew nuts for 8 days to the river Rovuma, a man would be given 1 capulana, a strip of cloth for his wife. On his return from the Rovuma, he would carry clothes to be sold by the private traders in the liberated areas, and for this he received a little salt. It was nothing more nor less than the replacement of exploitation by Portuguese capitalists with exploitation by Mozambican capitalists. Not unnaturally, the question then began to be posed, who are we fighting against, and to establish what? The guerrillas were giving their lives, the people were making sacrifices, they were carrying heavy loads, but for what? What precisely was the object of the struggle? Many of the guerrilla commanders and the peasants themselves began to see that there was more to the struggle than simply ending Portuguese domination. They could see that people like Nkavandame simply wanted to take over the system of exploitation and use it to their own advantage. But President Eduardo Mondlane and the other revolutionaries in the Frelimo leadership had already foreseen the likelihood of a new class arising, a new class of black exploiters, who would clear the way for the Portuguese to find a neo-colonial solution in Mozambique. In 1965, a statement published in the Frelimo magazine, Voz da Revolução, showed that the Frelimo leadership had already shaped a clear line on the question of neo-colonialism. That statement pointed out that Frelimo was struggling against Portuguese colonialism, but at the same time was creating conditions to prevent neo-colonialism from being established in the country. Neo-colonialism, it said, is a modern form of colonialism. Basically, they're one and the same thing. Only the form and the manner of control differ. Neo-colonialism is more disguised, more modernized. It means independence in name, but not in fact. The Portuguese were spending millions of dollars on the war in Mozambique. Soon, said the statement, they might want to be done with the war, but without losing Mozambique's wealth. They would promise independence to Mozambique, but they would choose the president, possibly even an African, a friend of theirs who would take orders. Thus, Mozambique would apparently be independent, because it had its own government, flag, and national anthem. But in reality, for the masses of the people, everything would continue as before. It would give the Portuguese complete freedom to exploit commerce, industry, mining, and banking. The Mozambican people would remain in poverty, and the Portuguese and their puppets would grow ever richer. That, said Frelimo in 1965, was the meaning of neo-colonialism, and that was what Frelimo rejected.
Avante!
Avante, povos oprimidos!
Avante!
Avante, povos colonizados!
Avante!
Avante, todos levantamentos! Avante, paz no Haiti!
But as the war developed, the new exploiters increased their activities. Then, in 1968, the Second Congress of Frelimo was held in a liberated area of Mozambique, in the province of Niassa, which lies west of Cabo Delgado. The reactionaries in the movement, including Lazaro Nkavandame, did not want this Congress to be held inside Mozambique, and neither did they want the guerrilla forces to attend. But the people's forces were represented, and were defined as the true vanguard of the movement. Eduardo Mondlane was re-elected president. The anti-racist, anti-tribalist character of the struggle was maintained, and once again it was defined as being against the exploitation of man by man, not against the Portuguese people, not against whites. The policy of women's emancipation was reaffirmed, and the women's detachment in the guerrilla forces won new prestige, something that Nkavandame and his supporters were completely opposed to. This Second Congress was the catalyst which led to the transformation of the armed struggle into a revolutionary people's war. It was there that the guidelines were drawn up, which would lead to the National Democratic Revolution. Nkavandami's reactionaries then tried to openly oppose the decisions taken. Using the armed men under their control, they tried to isolate Cabo Delgado from the rest of the country, even preventing the crossing of the border with Tanzania in either direction. During these operations, the reactionaries murdered Samuel Kankomba, a member of the general staff of the Mozambique People's Liberation Forces. Lazaro Nkavandami was expelled from Frelimo.
Frelimo haina mwisho.
Haina mwisho, Frelimo haina mwisho.
Frelimo haina mwisho.
Haina mwisho, Frelimo haina mwisho.
Frelimo haina mwisho.
On the 3rd of February 1969, President Eduardo Mondlane was killed by a book bomb sent to him by the Portuguese secret police, the notorious PIDE. It was a big setback for Frelimo, and the enemy was ready to exploit the situation. One member of the Frelimo leadership, the power-hungry Uria Simango, tried to have himself appointed president. Simango, like Nkavandami, was opposed to the demands of the peasants and guerrillas for a just social and economic system. Naturally, Simango could not say this openly, since he was Frelimo's vice president. His was a classic case of the counter-revolutionary using militant language, in this case, the language of negritude and black power, to conceal his true objectives. Simango and his group opposed the presence of white Mozambicans in Frelimo, using racist arguments. In some quarters, this made Simango sound very militant, but the reality was different. He did not want to destroy the structures of exploitation in Mozambique, only to have black figureheads like himself running essentially the same system. However, the Central Committee of Frelimo rejected his bid for the presidency, and instead elected Samora Moises Machel, who, as Secretary for Defense, had been chief of the Frelimo guerrilla forces. Shortly afterwards, Simango paid a visit to New York, where he tried to make contact with influential Americans with the help of an agent of the CIA. And in September 1974, he took part in the right-wing efforts to prevent a popular Frelimo government from coming to power. Once again he failed, and was later captured and jailed. The reactionary bid for power was finished.
Frelimo haina mwisho.
Haina mwisho, Frelimo haina mwisho.
Frelimo haina mwisho.
Haina mwisho, Frelimo haina mwisho.
You've been listening to a chapter in the story of the liberation struggle in Mozambique. This 9-part series was produced at the studios of Radio Mozambique in Maputo, and you can hear the next installment of Viva Frelimo at the same time next week.
Aye, aye.